we get things started this afternoon by welcoming back to the show Red Sox legend Rico Petrocelli. Rico, good afternoon. Welcome back.
Rich, how you doing? By the way, what do you have, a five-hour show with all those guests? My goodness, that's fabulous.
We just talk really fast. That's the key right there. Man, oh, man, it was some fun last night seeing Tito and the Indians take on the Red Sox. That really had a playoff feel to it last night.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, when you get two good teams going against each other, especially this year, because there are a bunch of really bad teams, but, you know, everybody faces them. All the good teams face them. So, yeah, it was good. Priscillo started out very good, and, you know, he had everything going. And Kluber's, you know, he's just, he gives up runs, but, I mean, you know, he's just a heck of a pitcher. And one of the things that you don't see very often today is that Francona, if it was another pitcher, he probably would have been out of the game earlier. But since it's Kluber, and he's a guy who would go the nine innings, he kept him in there. And, of course, Cleveland scored runs off the home run. So, yeah, it was an exciting game.
Rico, where would you rank Terry Francona as a Red Sox manager in your years being involved with the team?
Well, I got to say, Terry is probably one of the best managers that ever managed the Red Sox. And a couple of reasons. One, that he was terrific on how to handle players. You know, one of the great, great jobs he did was with Manny Ramirez.
Yes.
You know, Manny was starting to have some problems, meaning that he was giving some problems, wouldn't hit one game, wouldn't swing a bat another game, was out in the left field, inside the left field wall, you know, the monster. Little things like that started aggravating his teammates as well. And Terry really kept him in, kept him reasonably normal, I guess you'd say. But that was just one. The other thing is when he was here, too, he was also outstanding handling the bullpen. And that's the key. With those two things are the keys to success. Of course, if you have good players. But even if you do, you still got to be a manager in both categories there. And he was great. I don't know about, you know, the past managers were going way back, Joe Cronin and some of the others. But I know in the modern game that he was one of the best. And I was in Cleveland a couple of weeks ago over the weekend for a trade show. And we asked a number of people, you know, what do you think of Terry Francona? They absolutely love him there. I mean, love him. They would not say a bad word, even when a team is going bad and all that. You know, so... You know, when the fans like you that much, you've got some talent and a great personality.
Rico, how concerned should Red Sox fans be about this return trip to the DL for Chris Sale?
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure. I tweeted out, I was on Twitter first time, and I tweeted out, he says, if the Red Sox are giving Sale kind of a rest, you know, to keep him ready for the postseason. I says, you know, I can live with that. That's no problem. But if he does have inflammation, I think there's a lot to be worried about. And the reason is because usually when you get, some arm injuries, whether it's elbow or shoulder, it usually comes back. You know, a weakness is forming in there. And what pitchers do, and the trainers have them do some weight work, it strengthens the area somewhat, but it usually comes back. That's the same thing holds true with these groin injuries, which I had. And you think, you know, when it's healed, oh, man, okay, I won't have this again. I'll make sure I stretch. Sure enough, it comes back, and it's weird. But, you know, if he has inflammation, I'd be worried.
We're talking with Rico Petrocelli here on Downtown. Well, the Red Sox on a record-setting pace, got a big lead in the American League East. Is that a good thing or a bad thing from your perspective as a player? Is it better to cruise into the month of September with a big lead, or does the team stay a bit more sharp when you're involved in a close race?
That's a good question, and I'm not sure if anybody really knows the answer, because there have been teams who, you know, 2 weeks before the season, I mean, they clinched it and then went on to go all the way, you know, and the same thing with the other situation. They'll play right down to the wire, and, you know, everybody's sharp, and they get a day off or so, 2 days even, and then start the postseason. So it's a tough one. It's always nice to, you know, have that time where you can kind of rest up, get your guys who are injured, get them healthy again, and then go on. And yet, I think I'd rather go, rather have a tight schedule, you know, I mean, last couple of days at least. And then if you win it now, you know, you're still up. You're still, you know, a notch higher than you normally would be, you know, with energy and everything going into the playoffs. So, in my opinion, I mean, I would rather have a tight race. And this is what we thought was going to happen with the Yankees and Red Sox this year. You know, maybe come down to that last series, but it's not going to happen. The Sox are going to continue, you know, to hold this big lead, I think.
Red Sox have had some great streaks this year, and they've played some impressive baseball. I think back to your 67 team and that 10-game winning streak you guys had around the All-Star break, and what that did for you the rest of the way. Is that a real thing when you're playing? Is momentum and winning contagious?
It is a real thing. There's no doubt about it. You notice that most of the winning streaks are, say, 10 games, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, you lose one or two. We did that, too. I mean, we won 10 games, and then we were right up there with it was a four-team race, and then lost a couple, then started winning. So it was, and the rest of the way, it was a race right down to the last day with the four teams. But you gain confidence when you win. I mean, and when you do well, let's face it. This club was just amazing. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen anything like that. 50 games over 500? When did that happen? Yeah, there were a few teams that did it, but they have been amazing. And the guy who really has changed his club offensively is J.D. Martinez. There's no doubt about it, what he's done. And how he's helped being in that lineup every day and, you know, helping the whole lineup. Because you see him, you see his work ethic, you see his attitude and the fact that he, you know, is successful. And, wow, it rubs off. You know, it's just everybody's pumped up. They also want to hit. And that's what happened with the Sox. Now, that could change. You remember the Dodgers? Was it last year? They were way out in front. Incredible. And then all of a sudden, they couldn't win ball games for a month.
Right.
I don't think that's going to happen with the Red Sox, because I think the Red Sox pitching is good enough to prevent a long losing streak, meaning 3-5 games even.
Rico, I want to talk before we let you go about this wonderful new book that you're a part of, An All-Stars Cardboard Memories. It's a fantastic-looking book and some great insight and memories from you. How did you get involved in this?
Yeah, it is. It's a beautiful book. They did a great job on it. And my partner with we do a collectible show on Facebook every Wednesday night, and I get to know a lot about this industry, and it's fabulous. So we was talking one day. We were talking. He said, "How many All-Star guys do you think you played against them with?" I said, "Geez, you know, I don't know, but a lot. You know, the Mantles, the Mays, the Aarons, the Clementes, the Koufax, and so on." And he says, "Geez, let me think about this, and you know, maybe we can put something together in a book." So he suggested that, you know, his wife is also the author, and they're very talented. And he said, "You know, we'll have you discuss and maybe tell some stories about all these guys." I said, "Yeah, I got to know and talk to almost, you know, just about all of them." And so we started that way, and then what they did was one of our big sponsors, PSA, they're called, they're authenticators of all the autographs and all the, you know, the collectibles and memorabilia, and they authenticate them. And he was going to put the photos in of all these players and then write about, you know, the cards, what they're worth, and, you know, and something about the players and their careers and all that. And so I said, great, you know. So we interviewed. I interviewed with Tom Zappala and Ellen Zappala, and they put it together, and the color in the book is beautiful. It's a coffee table book, and it's different, I think, than anything that anybody's really seen as far as baseball books are concerned. So it was fun doing, and it came out great. So I'm very, very proud to have been a part of it.
And some great things that I didn't know about that you share in the book, including the fact that you caught the last ball ever hit by Mickey Mantle.
Yeah, a high pop-up. It was about 2 miles high, and waited for it to come down. But Mickey hadn't announced his retirement until the next spring. So when I caught the ball, maybe in the eighth inning, you know, like everybody else, he threw the ball next to the mound, and you went off, and, you know, the game continued. Little did I know, of course, you know, that he was going to retire. And, of course, I cried for about 2 weeks, 2-3 weeks, because I didn't have the ball. And you could imagine what it would be worth now.
Well, I can imagine that. Can you share the story of what happened, Rico, when, as a rookie, knuckleballer Hoyt Wilhelm threw you a fastball and you hit it out?
Oh, this was incredible. Yeah, I was as a rookie, and here's Hoyt Wilhelm, a future Hall of Famer, had bought a great knuckleball. And, I mean, it bounced all over the place, and it was faster than I think the guys who are throwing them now in Wakefield. It was tough to hit. He had a lot of success with it. So I get up there, young kid, 20 years old, then I'm happy to be in the big leagues, and here's Hoyt Wilhelm. First pitch, strike one, knuckleball. Second pitch, ball one, knuckleball. Gets to 3-2, all knuckleballs. And I'm up there waiting, and I'm saying, probably going to be another knuckleball, but, you know, just in case, see if I can adjust if he throws. He throws me a fastball. Bang! Hit it into the net. And I'm like, you know, a little kid running around the bases, and he's following me around the bases. He says, you Dago, you know, he called me. He said, you'll never see another fastball from me again. I was jumping around the bases. I didn't care. I was so happy. I hit a home run of Hoyt Wilhelm.
What a great story.
It was really something.
You can read all about it. And the beautiful book and All-Stars Cardboard Memories, Rico Petrocelli. Always fun for us to talk with you, Rico. Thanks for making time for us this afternoon, and we'll catch you again soon.
Happy to do it. Thanks, Rich.